Chapter 75. Jesse had a long talk with Ozzie Smith over a few black labels. The thing with Suit hadn't hit him until he was on his way home that evening. He'd taken his usual drive around town, but added a slow cruise along Trench Alley, past what was now a cracked concrete slab where the bodies had been found, and a drive up into the bluffs. With the exception of the detour down Trench Alley, it was the same route he'd taken the night of the nor'easter. That storm had brought more with it than wind and snow. It brought with it the past. As he sat in his Explorer on the grounds of the old Rutherford mansion, the place where he'd confronted John Milner the night of the storm, Jesse remembered something he'd once read in a magazine on a long bus trip from Vero Beach to Fort Myers. That's what you did in spring training. You rode buses to away games. And on those long, boring bus rides, you read or played cards or listened to music. That was a special spring, the spring he'd been anointed. The spring when the GM of the Dodgers told him that if he hit it all in AAA, he'd be a September call-up to the big club. The article he'd read on that long-ago bus ride was about an almost perfectly preserved P-38 Lightning discovered in the North African desert. It had disappeared in late August 1944, and the military had given up all hope of ever finding it. The article said that this sort of thing wasn't that unusual, that in the scheme of things, given the enormous scale of Allied Air Force operations during the war, dozens of planes had gone missing in every theater of battle, the most famous being a B-24D Liberator called Lady Be Good, lost in Libya in 1943, and discovered in 1958. The remains of the crew were discovered miles away from the wreckage in 1960. He remembered that he'd heard about the Lady Be Good even before reading about it. You grow up in Arizona, the home of the airplane graveyard, you hear stories. And the Lady Be Good incident had inspired one of his favorite Twilight Zone episodes. The thing about the P-38 that made it different was that it had been buried in a sand dune for 40 years, and it had been uncovered, finally, by a historically violent sandstorm. Another thing that made it different was that the remains of the pilot, who'd apparently been killed on impact, had been found in the plane. Not only had the plane been preserved, if somewhat flattened by the weight of the dune, but so too had the remains of the pilot. He had been sort of mummified by the sands. It was no wonder to Jesse why he should be thinking about that long-ago bus ride and the article he'd read. The parallels were obvious enough. But there was something eating at him. Something about the article that he'd forgotten, that he'd wanted to remember, yet just couldn't. By the time he'd made it home, his mind had turned back to Paradise's own case of history delayed, and his complicated feelings about Suitcase Simpson. Suit had acted with incredible valor, shielding Jameson from Dragao with his own body. Jesse wasn't sure he would have reacted as quickly as Suit had. So why had he been unable to bring himself to pat Suit on the shoulder for a job well done? Ozzie Smith was of no help. "I don't know, Wiz," Jesse said, shaking his head at Smith's poster. "At least I can get a reaction from Dix. I may have to pinch hit for you next inning." Chapter 76. When he walked into the station, he was surprised to see Molly Crane at the desk. "What are you still doing here?"
"We're short cops, and I could use the overtime," she said.
"That's if I can get any overtime authorized."
"You'll figure something out. I have faith in you. Don't you Catholic girls believe faith is only really rewarded in the next life?"
"I can wait," she said. "Besides, I would be climbing the walls at home thinking about, you know."
"Warren?"
She nodded.
"About that. I think I might be able to track down his brother. I made a few calls to old friends. One thinks he might have moved to New York, and one says at least one of Warren's parents might be alive and down in Florida."
"Good. Where's Milner?"
"Not here," Molly said.
"What do you mean he's not here? Did a judge kick him loose?"
"He wasn't at home. And he hasn't been to work for 2 days. Hasn't called in. Just never showed up."
Jesse clenched. Damn. He ran.
Maybe.
Okay, let everyone know, he said. Already done.
Healy know? Jesse asked.
First call was to him. I knew there was a reason I kept you around.
She folded her arms and made a face.
Just one reason?
One or two.
Molly said, Al Franzen called a little while ago. He's checking out of the hotel tonight and heading home.
Any news on Dragao or his boat?
Still nothing.
I'm going to go over to the hotel.
I thought you might.
10 minutes later, Jesse was at the Whaler Lounge in the hotel with Al Franzen. Franzen ordered a frozen strawberry margarita, and Jesse a black label neat. Franzen raised his drink to Jesse. They clinked glasses.
To Maxie, Jesse said.
To my Maxie. When he sipped the margarita, Franzen made a sour face.
Pah, he said. I hate these frou-frou drinks. But my Maxie loved them. She loved drinking. She loved anything with alcohol in it.
Jesse smiled. Yeah, I didn't figure you for a frozen margarita man.
Franzen seemed not to hear.
My Maxie. Who am I kidding? She was never mine. She wasn't the type of woman who could ever really belong to any one person. Sometimes I don't even think she belonged to herself. I hated that about her, but I also loved her for it, too. I'm not making much sense, am I?
You're making perfect sense.
She was such a restless woman. It's funny, Jesse, but I can't imagine even death could tame her.
I only met her once, and I know exactly what you mean.
But now she has her girl back, and the pain is over with.
He gulped the pink drink.
It is a terrible kind of pain, a grinding, gnawing pain that leaves you empty.
Maxie tried to fill it up with... I'm repeating myself, aren't I?
It's okay, Al. It's okay. A slender African-American man in his early 20s came into the lounge and called out Al Franzen's name.
Franzen waved to him.
Over here!
Mr. Franzen, he said, your car to the airport is here. I'll load your luggage into the trunk, if I may.
Franzen slipped him a $10 bill and told him to go ahead. When he'd gone, Franzen got off the bar stool and shook Jesse's hand.
Thank you, Jesse. You've been very good through all of this.
I'm sorry for your loss. Maxie was something else.
Franzen took a step, then stopped.
I hope you find out who killed Maxie's girl, and the other girl, too. But if you don't, I'll understand. Maxie would understand. She knew what I told you the last time we talked. Sometimes the devil wins. It has always been so, I think.
Jesse watched Al Franzen make his way through the lobby and vanish behind the night-colored glass of the lobby doors.